Welcome to the Invincipod. I'm Ralph.
I'm James.
And today we're going to actually talk about that trailer.
Yeah, we're not just going to go through the cast.
Yeah, you know what's funny is we recorded our last episode where we were supposed to talk about the trailer. And then after we were done recording, we recorded the intro saying that we were going to talk about the trailer, full well knowing that we didn't talk about the trailer during the record. No. I don't know why we mentioned the trailer at all in that intro.
I think we were just so excited about the show.
I think so. And yeah. Excited because now we have a date.
We do.
We know when it's coming out. Clip,
and we got at the end of that there a release date, which was March 23rd. Is that
26th.
Right? 26th. I knew it was the 20-something.
Yeah, which is the same day that Godzilla vs. Kong came out. And I'm like, great. My Kaiju podcast has to start up the same time. But then they pushed that back a week. Do we have any information on, is this show going to be dropped in its entirety or is it going to be weekly? Because I didn't even think about that.
Amazon, the way Amazon have been releasing everything recently, it has been weekly. Or they'll do like a couple of episodes at the start of the season and then they'll release weekly. I'm watching The Expanse at the moment over there, which wraps up, I think, next week. And I think they did the first four episodes of that this season all in one hit on the release day, and then they've released weekly since then. So they, because it's a new show, they might do something similar, like get people in the door.
I think it's eight episodes according to IMDb, and I think they're an hour long episodes.
So yeah, they can tell enough of the story in those eight episodes.
But so
they don't
need
to be struggling.
But they can probably release some weekly. Because the thing is, like, the way I assume this podcast was going to go is they'd release one episode, we'd do a podcast, then episode two would be the following week. But I've never podcasted for a TV show that's dropped all at once.
Yeah, I haven't done anything. Like, it's one of those things. I feel like shows like that often get lost because people watch them at their own pace, but there's not like that cultural conversation going on.
Yeah. That's why when I first got into podcasting back in 2006, we're coming up on my 15-year anniversary of podcasting.
Wow. That's ridiculous.
And here's a little bonus for anybody who used to listen to that show. We should have a 15-year anniversary episode for you in April. We should.
Amazing.
But that was lost, and it came out weekly, and it gave you time to think about it. And then I do Mandalorian, I think is the second show I've ever covered, also release weekly. So I don't know. I feel like
I prefer it. I feel like we had such a glut of shows that were dropped all at once, but I like from going through Mandalorian and talking about it weekly and talking about it on your show as well there. And I've rewatched Lost and I'm listening to another Lost podcast where they're going through it weekly. And it's so much better because you can have conversations. You can theorize about things.
Right.
You can stay excited about it as opposed to binging it all in like a night or a week or whatever.
Right.
And then it's like, yeah, okay, cool. That's done now for a year or 2 years or whatever.
And then what's funny about Invincible is if it sticks closely to the book, we won't have too much speculating if we know kind of where the story's going already. Like we both assume the ending of season one will be the big twist that came in the third trade of Invincible. So watching the show, we won't be like, oh, I suspect that this character is a bad guy. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like we won't be able to do that. So it's going to be interesting. I feel like even if they do drop them all at once, I feel like doing a weekly conversation for the show would be okay.
It'll keep it going. I think it'll be good. Yeah. And like we can just do an episode a week.
Right.
And I think that will help. Like if people are interested in the show, it'll keep them going and like they can watch along at whatever pace they want. But yeah.
Right. Would you binge watch all of them and just talk about episode one week?
I think I would try and watch an episode and then talk about it.
Yeah, I think so,
too. I think that's how I would want to do it.
But what's good for us is from a recording standpoint, we could watch them in 8 days and record every single day of the week.
We could block record.
Just knock them out.
Definitely.
Just before we started recording,
I was telling Ralph that I just started a new job. And yeah, if it doesn't work out scheduling, that would be really handy for me.
Yeah.
Even if they just do a few at the start, like we can get a few episodes banked. That'd be really good.
Yeah. Banking episodes is the greatest thing ever. I love banking episodes. Because there's nothing, I'm not the biggest fan of like sporadic podcast releases. I like scheduled podcasts.
That's the
problem
that we've got at the moment with Lonely Boys Meets World, my other show that I do, is all of us got really busy over Christmas and like we all had a load of stuff going on that we sort of had to take a break. And because of that, we haven't had an episode out since I think the end of November. We've got two recorded, but we haven't released one for so long now. And I'm just like, I'm itching to get them back and get the regularity going. Whereas another show that I'm working on, we're recorded like once a week or so, and we haven't done anything with it yet. It's just sitting there, and we'll get 20, 30 or something episodes recorded before we release.
I'm excited. Back when I started Kaiju Podcast with Jorge, we started recording like Thanksgiving weekend, which is the end of November. With the schedule set in place to start at the beginning of the following year. So we had recorded a couple episodes in advance. And what was great about that is we would record two episodes at a time. So we'd do like an hour long or 2 hour long recording session, but then release every other week. So each recording session equaled a month. It knocked off a month of,
that's great.
So doing it that way, like we were really great. Cause I work third shift as well. So I'm working at night and he was working on a TV show. He was working on Hawaii Five-0, and our schedules were not compatible, but we never once missed our deadline because we would bank.
Yeah. You
episodes.
Went through an entire run, didn't you?
Four years. Four years straight without a single missed date. Except the last show. There was something going on. We posted the show. We scheduled the show to post, and it went up on the site, and it went out to social network. And so I'm like, okay, cool, it's there. And then like 2 days later, I'm like, where's my show? And nobody even said, hey, dude, where's the show? I'm like, you guys are killing me. So I went and I re-uploaded it and it worked. But yeah, it was
weird.
But it was ready to go. It made it on the YouTube channel at the same time.
Okay, at the correct time. Maybe people just went there.
And this show's going to be on YouTube as well. I'm going to do that. Take the audio from this and post it to YouTube. We already put our Secret Origin episodes up there. Our episode zero.
Yep.
This is episode 0.1. I'm going to call this 0.1 because I want our episodes to match up.
One to one. Definitely.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
YouTube.com/InvincipOd. You'll be able to, if you, for some reason people like listening on YouTube.
I've noticed the same thing. People, I think they just have it on in the background while they're doing other stuff, maybe.
Yeah, could be.
If they're already working on the computer, then, you know.
Yeah.
It's also catch-all. Like, not everyone uses iTunes or Apple Music or whatever it is, Apple Podcasts now. So, I don't know. I do. I still much prefer the Apple Podcast system, but that's just, I think because I've been using it for so long. What,
since
2006,
yeah.
Yeah, there. So,
oh, man.
I don't know. It's always my go-to. But when people sort of, I know we've put up all of our other show on Spotify, and a lot of people listen to it there. So
yeah,
it's just whatever people's preferences, isn't it?
So. Right. And I like to give as many options as I can. So
same.
Obviously, you're listening to this, so you found us somehow. So.
Yeah, maybe you're listening to it on the in your Tesla, on your the Tesla specific one.
Ooh.
That's a weird one that I decided to put our show up on just in case someone with a Tesla wanted to listen.
Hey, there's a lot of Teslas on the road.
There is.
They've got to cross over to Invincible fans.
There's going to be at least one or two.
Do you think Kirkman or Otley have a Tesla? Chances are, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Seth Rogen probably does, doesn't he?
I bet you he does. And as far as I know, there's only two Invincible podcasts that I could think of that they. I mean, this is the only one. This is like show specific though, like where I mean. Depending on how it goes, we might delve into the books, maybe as like hiatus episodes, because who knows if we're getting a season 2, and if we do, when's that going to happen? We've waited so long for season 1.
Yeah.
So And I need to reacquaint myself with the book. I started to do a reread. I need to keep going because it's been so long since I read the first issue.
Because I did exactly the same thing. I read the first trade again, and then I was like, oh yeah, no, cool. And I picked up the second one, and it's literally sat by the side of my bed since we recorded that first episode.
I sold all my trades. I sold all my trades to get an iPad so I can get them digitally. So I repurchased them all on the iPad, and I have them like, I have like something like the first five trades, and then I have issues like individual issues from like 75 to the end. So there's like a small gap in the middle there of like, I need like two trades and I'm just waiting for those prices to drop and then I'll regret.
So I had a look on, I think it was after that first episode that we did on Comixology. They had all of the compendiums for super cheap. So I just went in and I picked up all three of those, three or four, however many it is. And I've got them on my Kindle tablet. And I've got so much time now with my new job to read comics or whatever at work, so I think I'm just gonna plow through the whole lot. Like I read half a Star Wars book in like half a shift the other night.
I feel like I need, okay, so Comixology follows me for some reason. I should go on Twitter and tell them I have this many issues of Invincible, can I trade these, you know, 75 issues for like a compendium version. So yeah. I don't have, but the thing is with the individual issues is you get the Invincipals, the
pen Backmaster stuff.
Yeah. All the questions, the mail-in stuff, which is kind of fun. And then now it makes me want to like ditch the trades I have and get the individual issues, but we'll see. Cause those are always fun.
It's a lot of effort. I mean, it's, yeah, they are great. And Kirkman was always, he always had a good letters column in whatever book he did.
Right.
It was the same with Walking Dead. Cena Grace was editing both those two books for a while. And like he would jump in and they'd always have like a bit of a back and forth in the answers for the questions. And they'd be ribbing each other and it's good fun.
I think I mentioned this last time. I read the first 11 Walking Dead trades like in a week or two. And then just stopped. I don't know what happened. I just stopped.
I think we both had the same sort of thing where it's just like, I'm done with this. It wasn't that it was bad. I enjoyed it, but I was just like, I don't need any more.
It was. And I never stopped Invincible though. Love it.
No, I mean, I still need to finish it up because as we talked about in the last episode, I dropped off at one point and then I've been meaning to catch up, but I've decided to just go through it all from the start and my catch up. But I haven't finished it yet. I don't even know. Like I think two or three trades worth that I don't even know about, which is weird. So weird.
I was in bed reading and I told my wife, I said, okay, I'm reading the last Invincible ever, kind of like as a don't fucking bother me. This next 10 minutes I need to be left alone so I can enjoy this end.
To this.
So It's a good ending. It really is. So it's a landing that's stuck, and I look forward to hearing your thoughts.
Yeah. Well, I think before we get too far off and don't talk about the trailer, we should jump into this trailer because I've got it playing it over here at the moment. It's amazing. I can't stop looking at it because it looks more than any other adaptation of anything. Film, TV, anything. It just looks like the book comes to life.
Right. And right now I have it up as well, but I have it paused. I have it on my, I ripped it onto, to QuickTime. And so I can just kind of scrub through it with my magic mouse because I'm a Mac dude.
Cool. But well, I've got it up. I haven't ripped it, but I've got it up. So if you want to pause at any point, just give me a time code.
But even the first frame is Nolan flying in space.
Yeah.
And it is like, somehow it's like Corey Walker's art, but even cleaner.
Yeah.
And Ryan Otley too. Like, I don't know how you're able to make Invincible look cleaner.
They've somehow blended the two perfectly. It's not fully Walker. It's not fully Otley. It is somewhere in between. And it's just so clean.
just in the first shot alone. So you got the perfect pose, because I like animation, so I'm all about you as animation. They teach you, you want to hit your poses, and essentially every character, you want to know what they're doing if you were to take that same drawing in silhouette. So you'll never see like an image of Mickey Mouse where his hands like over his chest. They'll both be out, so the silhouette, you can kind of see the different poses. So this pose of Nolan with his hands out, and then it kind of goes into a different pose looking up from his neck, like just as like,
you can see how like his arms have moved and he's sort of gone into that linear flight mode.
It just shows his power. Like anytime you look up at a character, it's a show of power. Anytime you look down on a character, it's a show of weakness. So just seeing him from that angle just shows power. But just even like the shadows and the paint work, I'm assuming they're doing digital paint, but it still has that feel of who does the colors on the book? Is it Crabtree? No, it's been a couple people, but
yeah,
it still matches that style from Invincible. Like it may not be as detailed shadows and light, but it still has the same feel. And
it was Crabtree.
Yeah, it just looks so clean, and his outfit looks perfect.
This is obviously, it's not his Omni-Man outfit. This is more of his Viltrumite sort of suit. So
this looks like it's him coming to Earth for the first time.
Yeah, I was going to say, this feels like it's probably when we're getting his origin story. We're getting him telling Mark about his origins and how he came to Earth and everything.
Right, and the look on his face is like almost, it's like determination. It's a little, I'm just going to say determination.
Because
it doesn't look angry, it doesn't look hopeful.
He's got a mission, he's a man on a mission, and he's flying to Earth to do a thing.
And his eyebrow is cocked just a little bit, because there's like a little bit of curiosity in there. Like whoever's drawing this stuff, whoever's doing show running and filling out, doing the storyboards and stuff. I mean, this look is amazing. And fans of the comic know exactly what that look is.
100%.
So good.
And I mean, that mustache, we can't jump away from talking about the look of Nolan without talking about that glorious, glorious mustache.
Yeah,
like I my hope is that this mustache is up there with like Ron Swanson and other Magnum PI, like TV mustaches. Like right. It needs to be on that Mount Rushmore of TV mustaches.
It's funny that I'm so used to this book and this character that I never really thought, like, how many superheroes have mustaches? Not even Wolverine, who's like known for his hair.
They digitally removed Superman, didn't they?
Right. Man, I can't.
They should have left it in. That would have been the only thing that made me watch that movie, is if they'd left in Henry Cavill's mustache.
Well, that's the problem, is the mustache was only there for the reshoots, and all that reshoot stuff's getting tossed out. But I mean, Superman with a mustache would be awesome, but that's only because I know Omni-Man. Right.
But that's it. That is what we've got. That is Omni-Man, is Superman with a mustache.
The second bit we have here is the high school, and I just realized that it's still called Reginald Bell Johnson High School. It says it right there on the marquee.
Yeah.
It was always one of those things that I thought was so weird in the book, just because I know who Reginald Bell Johnson is.
Joke. It's such a like it's a very Kirkman in joke.
And what's funny is they're doubling down on it. Like they're not shying away from it in the show, which makes me believe like they're doing it right. Yeah, and
I think they'll have all of those little things. Obviously, there might be a few things that they can't do for licensing, but it's that same sort of thing.
Do you think we'll see Bill and Ted and Jay and Silent Bob in the background? I could see it.
Maybe. I could see it. Like, they can get away with that sort of stuff in animation.
Right.
So,
like, it doesn't...
Like, it would be great.
They could just be wearing the similar outfits. It doesn't have to be, you know... Yeah. I think the whole thing with licensing is that you can't sell something from another property, but I think it could show up in the background. Hopefully, we'll see. It'll be interesting to see how they go. And if there's any sort of new in the last, what, almost 20 years of this book? See if there's anybody... New pop culture
that's what
references.
That's something that I wanted to bring up. Like, obviously, a lot of the references and stuff were relevant for the time. Whereas now we are 10, I thought 10, but no, you're right, it's closer to 20 years away from the start of this book. It really is, isn't it? It's going to be 20 years in a couple years' time.
Yeah,
jeez.
2 years.
That's depressing.
But looking at this, they have a Reginald Bell Johnson flag out front of the school. Now, usually in America, I think if you were to have a second flag, it would be the state. And I don't remember if Invincible lives in a specific state. Like, he's not in New York or Jersey or something, right?
No, it always, like, because of the bridge and everything where they've got their hideout for a little while, it always sort of felt Californian to me. But, like, it's because the bridge feels like it should be the Golden Gate. But it's not. It's definitely not San Francisco. Right. But I think it's just generic West Coast.
But
it's
I need
how I've always felt.
I need that Reginald Bell Johnson logo on a shirt. It just says RVJ on yellow writing in on a green background.
Yep. It would make for like a good polo shirt, I think, like with it just over the pocket or something.
Yeah. Oh, it's like a little monogram.
Yeah. It's just something subtle. That's the sort of shirt that they need, definitely. But I mean, that's the other thing with it being on Amazon. Amazon love to merchandise their stuff, so we should be getting a lot of cool Amazon merch.
Hopefully. We get some shots of Mark at school. His outfit looks a little more modern, I think, than maybe the original comic. I don't remember what he wore, but I do
I
like
remember what he was wearing at school.
I like he's wearing his shirt's untucked, so he's still kind of nerdy,
a bit schleppy, yeah. His friend, I can't remember his friend's name, but he's got the same hair. He's got that you know, he's got the curtains.
Yeah,
yeah. He's got the curtains. Yeah. Maybe they've given him a bit of an undercut to modernize it, but you know, I think it's like you can tell it's him,
right?
But yeah, like talking about his outfit and everything, it's making me go, yeah. So I think they are gonna update it. It's not gonna be set in the early 2000s anymore. It's gonna be now. So some of the references might have been updated and stuff, some like fashion and stuff like that. But your core characters, they're universal. Like they are designed to be anytime, any place, so they won't need to do too much with them.
Right. And his outfit kind of has the colors for Invincible. The blues, the kind
yellow
of the
in
blue
there
and
as
white
well.
Stripe. Yeah. We get the classic scene of Mark standing on his roof outside his bedroom in just his pajama pants. So this leads me to believe that it's like a pretty close, so far everything seems like it's a really close adaptation to the book.
This was the shot. This was the one that made me go, oh, they're sticking super close. Because the house is like, it's got that, you know, he can climb out of his bedroom onto the roof sort of design to it. And it's like, yeah, he's doing that thing where he tries to fly for the first time.
Right. I don't know how many houses have that, but I'm jealous of it.
Yeah, it always screams Flight of the Navigator to me. I don't know why. It's been a long time since I've seen that movie, but I feel like that was in Flight of the Navigator.
I watched it within quarantine time.
Okay, so the last year.
I don't remember the roof being like that, but it that movie's great. I still love it.
Yeah, it's great. I might have to revisit.
Yeah, I could see something like this in Explorers. Anytime like those 80s kids were able to sneak out at night. When I was a kid, I figured out how to open my locked bedroom window from the outside.
Okay.
And I used to just sneak in at night. Just because I could. I had a key to the house and I was old enough to go out. But
it's a weird thing for me, but like they're not very common. Flat roofs like that aren't very common at all in the UK. But I had one in like my early years growing up. We had a flat roof. It was above our kitchen, and from that side of the house would have been my brother's room. You could climb out of it, out of his bedroom onto this flat roof. So we do that all the time, all of us. And like our house was the house that everyone came to, all of my brother's friends, all of my sister's friends. And so this flat roof just became a place that people hung out. So it felt normal to me when I'd see it on TV. Whereas it was only when I moved or I'd see other houses that I was just like, oh shit, that was kind of special that we had one of those.
Yeah, I'm jealous.
But a friend of my brother's did jump off of it at one point and break his back when he was 16 years old. So...
Don't
maybe not the best thing. Yeah, no.
Yeah, it's funny.
He tried to fly.
What's funny is they would put in America, I don't know about over there, they would have something that says do not attempt at home. Whenever you see like a superhero like this jumping off a roof, they'll have to like explain that to you. There was just a tweet from Invincible HQ, I believe, that said something to the effect of, we can't wait for kids to see our very not PG show. And they like, the thing I love about this is like, is I could see like parents watching with their kids getting up to this point and being like, okay, he's a superhero, don't jump off the roof. And then in like the next episode, he's going to have his head crushed and his eyeball fly out into space and blood everywhere. And it's like, oh, maybe it's not for kids.
Yeah, this definitely isn't. You thought that, yeah, they all thought that it had a rating for him jumping off of roofs and stuff, where it's really not the case. That is so tame.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what they have in store. The next scene...
It's insane.
The next scene is Nolan and Mark having a catch with the baseball. Now, this was the extended clip. Yeah. You want to talk about the extended clip?
Yeah, so we could talk about the extended version of this scene. So in the trailer, we just get the, can you hear it, from Nolan talking about the baseball coming towards Mark.
Right.
But yeah, in the extended scene, we get, I mean, as far as I can remember, the full scene from the comic book.
Right.
Where Mark is nervous. He's knows that he's got powers now. He can fly now comfortably. But he's unsure of himself.
Right.
So he's worried and he's scared that he won't be able to live up to what his dad expects from him. And if he can really be a superhero. And yeah, Nolan basically is just explaining, it's like, look, kids your age always think that they're invincible and it's a detriment to them. Right. Whereas you actually are invincible. So basically, go do something good with it.
And then that's where he gets the idea.
The name.
For the name. And the suit. And then we get to go see him full on get the suit made.
Yeah, and we get our first little hint. We get our first voice acting that isn't one of these two, and we get obviously Mark Hamill.
Right, and he sounds great.
And he sounds perfect. I mean, it's one of those things that we've all heard Mark Hamill do enough voice work over the years to go, oh, cool, that's Mark. But
right,
it's not distracting. Like, he still fits Art Rosenberg perfectly.
Yeah, and I feel like the only reason why I knew is Mark Hamill, A, because we knew it was Mark Hamill, but B, because I'm like, oh, that's Mark Hamill, let me listen for it. I think in the show I'm gonna set it aside. He did voice work in the Dark Crystal series for Netflix. He played the science officer, the Skeksis, and at first I'm like, oh, that's Mark Hamill. But then as the series went on, I just forgot. Really, really cool dude. But I mean, he played my favorite character, fictional character of all time. Yep. And so it's easy to recognize his voice.
It's hard to separate, but it's also, I think it's a testament to good voice acting in general when you can, you know who it is. And when we talked about the entire list and they're all pretty much known people, but it's a testament when they can, to the animation and to the voice acting, when you can just go, no, this is that character. This isn't that person playing a role. This is that character.
And his design is so perfect to the book that I now have a voice for when I read the book, which is great.
Definitely.
I'm interested to continue reading the book as we watch the series to see if they sound different than what I thought they sounded.
I think that's tempting now to sort of almost read along.
Right.
As close to the show as possible.
Right.
Oh, we'll see. Yeah, I might do that. Maybe.
I'm not the biggest fan of watching extended clips. Mostly because
I watched it a couple of times.
Oh, I just watched the once and I'm like, it's showing too much, but I've seen it all in the book already. So I'm like, okay, I'm fine with it. At Disneyland, they did a preview for Incredibles 2. And I'm like, oh, cool, let's go check that out. And they show like a bit of Incredibles 2. But then they showed like straight 8 minutes of footage from the movie. And I'm like, oh my God. So when I see the movie, I'm just going to be sitting there being like, I already saw this. Like, but this was fine because I've read the book and I've seen this scene before. And it was really cool to see it played out. Once again, just clean art.
Yeah.
Just clean.
Bright. It's bright colors, like I love that it's daytime and everything like that. It's one of the things that Invincible did really well.
Right.
That so much of it is during the day. It's bright sunlight and everything. It's not dark and gritty at all. And that's why when those moments of hyper violence come through, God, you see everything, and it's right. It's grim.
It hits you hard because you don't. The way the book is presented and the way it looks, it almost looks like a Silver Age book with the amount of color that's poured into the costumes and stuff. You don't expect that, so when it happens, that's another dose of violence.
Yeah,
like not even to mention, you know, that it just takes place mostly during the day and it's bright, but it literally just looks out of place, and that makes you like it gives you the perfect response. I feel if this book was dark and you saw blood, you'd be like, yeah, of course. But I think what's going to deceive a lot of parents. And I cannot, I cannot wait to see
the reaction. I'll be so curious to see how much of a warning they have, like pre-credits or whatever. It's just like, this is not a show for kids.
Right.
Because it really is not.
And I hope, like, I kind of want to see, and I bet you Kirkman's the same way. How parental groups are going to react to this.
Oh, you know, he wants it. He wants them to see it because he just wants that. Like,
because if you get parental groups going online and bashing the show for being so violent, that's going to get us to season 2.
It is the best publicity they can do.
Right. And it says, every ad is going to say from Robert Kirkman, the creator of Walking Dead. Like, think about that. Yep. Like, you got to realize something's up.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I think the most PG, like, nice comic he ever did was, like, what, Tech Jacket? Which was still in the same universe, but...
Yeah, there's, like, Super Dinosaur and...
I mean, yeah, other than the ones that were specifically, right. kids' comics.
What is the... I love Astounding Wolfman. I hope that this show is so big that we get to the point where we get an Astounding Wolfman series.
We get Wolfman, we get Tech Jacket, we get all of the spin-offs, like everything in the Invincible universe.
Right. And I haven't read Tech Jacket. I have issue number 1 sitting in my drawer. I somehow ended up with a copy of issue number 1. I should read it.
I read it when I was at the shop. I never bought it, and I can't really remember much of it, but it's a character that crossed over a few times.
Right. And when they do cross over, there's so many characters in Invincible that it's like... They just are another person that's a superhero. So I don't really like, I wasn't like, oh, okay. Like Brit and Battle Pope. And like anytime like someone just kind of shows up, I'm just like, oh, that's somebody else.
Does Battle Pope show up in the
movie? I don't know if he's got to be somewhere, right?
Maybe in the background or maybe like on a screen somewhere, but I don't remember Battle Pope showing up. That would be a little bit different.
Right.
I feel like Battle Pope's in his own little corner of Kirkman's universe.
I could see a character in Invincible wearing a Battle Pope shirt or something.
Yeah, it's like it's the Tarantino sort of movie universe, ooh, isn't it?
Do you think we'll get like maybe within the show on a TV screen like a Science Dog cartoon?
Science Dog. I think he'll be reading Science Dog throughout.
Or get, what was it, every 7 issues a Science Dog or every 10? They had a Science Dog story at the end of the issue.
There was, wasn't there? Yeah,
there was a specific amount, like it was like 20 or 25. Yeah. That would be great if at like the end of each season they had a little snippet of a Science Dog cartoon. And then amazing. once they're all done, you could piece them together.
Or they just put it out as a special or something.
That was my favorite thing about, I only watched the first season of Walking Dead, and that was my favorite thing, was that Kara wore a Science Dog shirt.
Yeah. And, like, it was a nod to those of us who sort of had read that and or knew the sort of the Kirkman world. Yeah, no, it's good.
So we get Mark flying from his rooftop and tumbling with the 747, which the animation on this, I'm just scrolling through almost frame by frame. I'm assuming that is a CG plane, but it still has that clean Walker Otley sort of design to it. And it just melds in with the animation so perfectly.
It's Mark taking off from his rooftop, and it's exactly what you were saying, like that pose where his arms are out, his knees crooked, and it's like, yeah, you could see that in the silhouette and you'd know exactly what was happening.
And the sort of
it's the same pose essentially that Nolan has, but we're seeing it from sort of looking down on him now, because he's coming up at the frame.
Yeah.
And he's still learning, so he's not as powerful as Nolan.
Right. And I like the effects work on the sort of breaking the sound barrier kind of energy that flies off of him, and then sort of a wind rip, like percussion coming off of that, like all of that stuff. Oh my gosh, it looks so good. And everything is, I can't stress enough how everything looks so clean. It's just, even this shot.
It's going to become a theme of the show, I think.
Well, yeah. I mean, even this shot, it's this wide shot of just the clouds with the moon and how small Mark is. It's such a powerful shot. Yeah. It shows like, and he's in his pajama bottoms. So it's so cool because it's like all of us, like if we weren't doing Skype video for this, I'd probably just be in my pajama bottoms. Like it's something we all do. It's just, maybe it's too hot at night. We just sleep in our pajama bottoms. And then to see him in this big, huge night sky. It's like, oh man, I wish I could be that guy. I wish I could fly around. Yeah. He's just like me, but he gets to fly around.
I wish I was that ripped 17.
Yeah, definitely. But then it's cut. That powerfulness is cut by this plane getting in the way. Well, I guess Mark is in the way. And then him tumbling back to Earth. So it knocks him down a peg. Like it's one of those things where he thinks, yeah, you are all powerful, but guess what? You're not. Well, you're invincible, but emotionally stuff can happen.
This landing where, you know, you see all the dust and everything come up. It's like, it's a hard landing that would knock out or kill anyone. But, you know, he can brush it off because he is invincible.
Right. It says from Robert Kirkman. We all know who that is. And then, we get to see him in the suit. Oh, my gosh. It's so good. Like, I can't. Like, the first couple shots look straight up like Corey Walker.
Yeah.
Where he's looking at his hands.
Yeah. And even just the one shot on his face as well. Right. Like, before that. Before we get there.
And Corey Walker did the character design, right? Corey Walker was working on the character design for the show. If I'm not mistaken.
You said that in the last episode that we did. Yeah, sounds right.
Oh, and then just these shots of him.
It's so nice, isn't it? Because like obviously Corey Walker only did the first 6 issues.
Right.
And something similar happened with Walking Dead as well. But it feels like instead of that relationship souring between Kirkman and his artist of the first 6 issues of an ongoing series, him and Corey Walker seem to have remained tight, and so that it was just a scheduling thing, whereas now Corey Walker he'd still pop in and do odd issues of Invincible throughout.
I want to say he does he does the penultimate storyline. So he does the storyline while Otley was working on the finale, because that last storyline in the book is like Otley going full Otley with details everywhere and stuff. So you'll get to that. But Corey Walker was working on the 7 issues right before that. So he does make a return. And his art, I want to say towards the end of the series, it's crazy because it still looks like Corey Walker, but I feel like there may be a little bit of an Otley influence in there too.
Interesting.
It's really interesting reading those first 7 issues and then going towards the end of the book. Was it 140?
Even when he'd pop in like throughout, like doing odd issues here or there, or like doing stuff. I think they did like a couple of specials where Corey Walker would do the art, and you could see that like he was getting better progressively. Like,
right.
Those first 6 issues are great. They are very much his style. But yeah, it very much became Otley's book, I feel like, afterwards. Right. With so much of it.
And I feel like with Corey Walker's designs for the show, it's definitely him, but it honors Otley. Like, it feels like both of them mixed together. It's like the perfect marriage.
Yeah. And they worked on a one-off. Sea Bear versus Grizzly Shark special that they did.
Right.
Where they just drew each other's like nonsense characters and like they put them both in one book. So like it's nice that they are obviously friends and they've collaborated and stuff in the past.
Right. These shots of Invincible flying through the city. I love the background art. Almost looks like it was painted over a photo or something. Like the backgrounds look so nice. I wanted to say that, okay, we'll get to it in a little bit, that I believe this takes place in Chicago, this scene at least.
Okay, which scene where he's fighting?
Yeah, who's he fighting here?
I can see it. That does look like Chicago.
There is a this shot when he is coming down to Earth from space, which is my favorite shot of the trailer, is just Mark in the top left corner, coming straight down into the city, and you just see the skyline kind of coming up behind. I believe that building is in Chicago, and you know what? Now I think about it, it may not be. it looks like Willis familiar. Tower, like, it but looks, it's shorter than the building next to it, so it's not Willis Tower. So I could be completely wrong. Also,
but I don't know. There's water on all sides. It could easily be Chicago.
It could be any city. That's the thing. It could be any city.
It's any city, USA.
We're going to watch the show, and it's just going to flat out tell us where it is, and we're going to be like, oh, yeah, we're stupid. Who is he fighting here with the ray gun arm? It's been so long since I've read the first issues. I don't remember all the characters' names, especially the sort of side of villains.
There's so many villains. There are so many. Let's have a look. I've got the list up here.
But what's great about this shot... What's great about this shot is he punches the red visor, the dude right in the face, and we see red chunks and the cracked visor. So as far as this goes, that is just pieces of visor flying off. But we know the blood's coming.
There's a character listed here as Red Rush, and it might be.
He's got a gun. He's got red in his costume, and the beam he shoots is red. So
knowing comic books and knowing the way that Kirkman designs his characters and creates characters, like it's probably Red Rush.
I feel love about Walker and Otley is you know that Kirkman comes up with these pun names and tells them to go draw Red Rush or Rexplode or something, and he just gets back like the crazy. He gets back like 5 pretty crazy designs and then 1 like off the rails nuts design.
Yeah.
And he's like, I want that one. That's really nuts.
Yeah. He always goes with the one that's just like out there.
The characters are so cartoony and bright, and look at, this guy has this arm cannon in some sort of probably a heist, breaking the law in broad daylight.
Yeah.
Then we get some blood. We have Mark backhanding somebody.
There we go. That's...
Somebody in a suit with long hair. I don't know who that is.
He looks familiar. And again, I feel like we both need to brush up.
It's been since 2003. So I'm going to read, by the time the show starts, I'm going to read at least the first 3 trades. Because us Invincible fans know what happens after the 3rd trade. And I feel like that's where a good place to stop the first season would be. Like, that would be,
I think so,
the best place to stop.
You know who I think that is? I think that's D.A. Sinclair.
Okay.
Who is listed here. And it's been played by Ezra Miller, interestingly.
He has that long black hair.
When he's at college, when Mark is at college, he's a villain that's introduced there. I was just reading up here. He's a student who turns into a villain and probably deserves being backhanded.
Yeah.
But it's a character I think does become quite a recurring character throughout the series.
And this is our first shot of Mark as Invincible with blood all over his face and his little his glasses bubbles.
Visors.
Yeah. It cracks me up that he goes through so many suits. It's rare that we don't see him beat up or his suit torn up. Maybe that's why I'm so into the way it looks with him being clean.
Well, that's also sort of part of the joke with Art Rosenberg, isn't it? It's like he's always having to go back to his costume maker because his costume's always getting fucked up.
Right. Oh, it's so good. So hopefully parents see this shot that lasts like, I don't know, a split second.
Half a frame.
And we have another shot of Mark throwing what we believe is Red Rush through the streets. And then he picks up a cinder block or a piece of concrete that has rebar sticking out of it. And Mark is covered in blood. And the color for this blood is so perfect. It's got that sort of slightly dried out, dark maroon color to it. Really striking.
I've got it freeze framed on the next shot where we see the person who's getting hit by that Cinderblock, and the blood, it's like some of it is all like real clean, but then you've got another bit that just looks like splatter. And it looks like kind of blurry and out of focus and everything. And it just, the two combined, like, it's gruesome, but this is nothing.
When I designed our podcast logo, it was just sort of the chest part where the yellow and blue and black are with Invincipod over it. And I'm like, it just looks too bland. And so I put a big fat blood splatter on it, and it really made the logo pop. I think the logo looks really good.
I love it.
There's something about the red on his outfit that just, it's almost part of his uniform. Like his like his uniform, the yellow, blue, and black, I feel like needs something else, a different, like, something, because the eye isn't so pronounced in the eye on his outfit.
Yeah.
Like the chest part of the yellow and the neck part of the yellow.
You can get away with it not looking like an eye.
Right. But when you get that,
it's the same as the like Image Comics logo.
Right. But when you get that red on it, it feels like that's when the uniform is complete. And it's almost like a Rorschach. It's like a constantly moving S shield on his shirt.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
it is one of those things. It's like if Mark gets in a fight and doesn't get bloody, or someone in the fight doesn't get bloody, it's like, you know that it was a nothing sort of fight. It was like carry on, move on to the next thing straight away.
So it looks like this fight has escalated because he's throwing the cinder block at an alien. Don't remember their names. I'm really going to have to read up. one of the things I want to say about this podcast too is that I am not an Invincible expert. I love Invincible.
I don't think the two of us are. We're both fans, both big fans, but there, I mean, clearly, just from listening to this episode, you might have guessed that we don't remember every last detail. Yeah. Like, it's been a long time since either of us have read through all of this.
Right.
So, you know, we're fans. We're here watching it along with you, hopefully.
Right.
And you probably know more than us.
Right. So, please, I hope you don't get mad if we get a detail wrong. Feel free to let us know at InvinciblePod.
I mean, or InvinciblePod. Don't be a dick.
Yeah, but I'm afraid because I'm stepping into this into this podcast. I'm like, listen, I love Invincible. I love it so much, but I'm also 44 years old and I've read this book over the last 20 years and my mind isn't going to remember every little detail. So.
Yeah, I've read a lot of books. I've read a lot of comics. Right. I've read a lot of stuff. I've consumed a lot of media in between. Like, I mean, I think I binge read the first probably 6 or 7 trades worth of this series when I was working at the comic book shop, and that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
And you know, I've drank a lot since then, I've lived a lot of a life since then, so things, they just drop out of your memory.
Right. So I'm gonna reread it for sure before we start episode one. Like I said, the first 3 trades, because where you go.
What we are assuming season one will be.
Yeah. For 8 episodes, I think that's a great arc. Whose head is getting crushed? Whose eyeball is popping out in this shot?
Do we want to say? Because I've got an idea, but I don't know if we want to say, because based on the gloves who are doing the popping.
Oh, I just assumed it was Mark, and that's stupid of me.
Mark doesn't have
gloves. Red gloves. I know who has red gloves. Mm. Okay. We'll leave that for people who haven't seen the show yet.
But again, this is the shot that parents need to see and go, oh, this is not one to show to the kids.
And it's a really quick shot, and that eye really comes out. I mentioned that earlier about Mark's head getting exploded and eyeballs in space. There's a lot of that in the book. Don't worry, Mark's okay. But
talking about so much of it being at daylight as well, and you just saying about being in space reminded me that it's just like, I think so much of the Earth-based stuff is daylight, because there is a good portion of Invincible that takes place in space. So that's obviously, it's all like black skies and everything.
But what's so great about it is the characters are still bright and pop. They don't, they're not like in like darkness and shadows. It's you rarely see anyone in shadows.
And when you do, you know that they're somewhat shady. It's intentionally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Usually those people in shadows are on the last page right before the letters column. And then they're
exactly. And then there's a reveal or something. Yeah.
In the next issue. I wonder if they're going to do those great cliffhangers, the Kirkman cliffhangers. I hope so.
I hope so.
And if they do, I hope they release them weekly because I want people to wonder. I want people to like want more.
Yeah.
That's the thing about Invincible.
Especially with we think is happening in this scene.
Right. And if you are a reader of Invincible and you're reading issue by issue, you fly through them fast. They are the easiest read. Yeah. And then you don't want to put them down. Usually when it comes to Invincible, when I sit down and read, I'll read at least 8. In a session. What I like about Kirkman is he's not too wordy. I'm not a very good reader. Reading puts me to sleep. I really only exclusively read comic books and listen to audiobooks. So with Kirkman, it's nice because he kind of leaves room for the artist to do their thing. And then, you know, there's not stacks and stacks and stacks of word balloons. This isn't Alan Moore.
This isn't
Grant Morrison. This isn't Grant Morrison. This isn't any of those guys. And it's not putting the book down. It's not saying that it's lesser than. It's full.
No, he probably writes just as much because, like, I mean, it depends on how much he gives sort of stage direction, essentially. Right. But it's not dialogue heavy. It lets the art story.
What's great about Invincible the comic, and hopefully it comes through in the series, is it doesn't take itself seriously. It's not too heavy. You can kind of just go with the flow and be entertained and know that it's not trying to be deep. It's not trying to be anything. Every twist and turn is fun, and the action is exciting. It's just a good fun comic. I mean, that's not to say
that it's slight either. It's like it's got something to say,
right?
But it's not too deep that like you need to worry about things, or like it's not too like analogous to real life, or it's like it's not got a message sort of thing in that way. It's just a, you know, it's a good superhero comic.
It's everything is on the surface. Everything's on the surface. It's not you don't have to think into it too much. Like you watch The Watchmen and you're like, oh, this could be mean this thing or that thing or have some deeper meaning to life. It's not that. This is almost like a really good family sitcom.
Which plays into so much. Wow, I'm so glad you said that, because every trade for Invincible was named after a sitcom.
Right. Right.
So every single one. Like, I think, like, I can't remember which one.
I think they stopped
specific,
around Invincible had, like, War. Around.
Yeah,
that one was just called Invincible War.
Yeah, but like you had like Family Matters, Different Strokes, like every sitcom from
My Favorite Martian,
My Favorite Martian, like everything, like they were all in there.
It was like,
and it was almost like a how is he still pulling this many sitcom titles?
Who's the boss? Like,
yeah, volume like 18 or 19 before they had to break that trend.
Yeah. That eyeball is definitely out of its socket.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to see it too well.
And then we see blood hit the wall.
And
then it looks like, there's a quick shot of Invincible. Oh, man, there's a lot of quick shots here.
Oh, yeah, it looks like he's flying through the Battle of New York from Avengers.
Yeah. We see Nolan holding the baseball.
Yeah.
That's now smoking. He's flying through some crazy stuff.
And again, fighting these aliens. So it looks like, I mean, I can't remember. Maybe this happens. Maybe it's a montage in the comics or something of him like cleaning up. Maybe this is just going to be a montage from the show of him sort of getting used to his powers or something. But, you know, they could be going off book. We don't know.
Yeah.
This could be their, this could be a very Kirkman-esque, like I said about Battle of New York, maybe that he's going to do, instead of the Battle of New York being this big, massive thing, Mark just comes in, cleans house in one, like, 5-minute section, and it's just like, this is what would happen if you had a real superhero.
Yeah. Yeah, Kirkman. Yeah, which that's definitely a Kirkman move. Oh my god! Because if you look at the ships that he's like throwing off and stuff, yeah, I could see that. That would be hilarious. The piss out of the Avengers.
Yeah, but like, in a, hey, we love it, but
yeah,
our superhero is so much stronger than those guys.
Right, right.
And he's just a kid who's learning his powers.
I cannot recommend anyone who's listening to this who hasn't read Invincible. I cannot recommend the book enough.
Do it. Do it, yeah, right
this,
now.
This looks like Chicago.
You've got a few weeks. It does. Like with, yeah. Maybe they don't. Maybe they're making it more Chicago.
Well, I mean, it doesn't have to be where Mark lives, because if we look at the shots before when he's falling down towards Chicago, he gets that from outer space. So he's almost in outer space listening for trouble and then goes down to Chicago. Because we know like the Pentagon in Washington, D.C. exists. So it doesn't necessarily mean he lives here. He just is going here to fight these monsters.
And if someone who can travel at sort of supersonic speeds, it doesn't really matter where the trouble is. Like, he can get there. It's fine.
We get the Amazon original Invincible logo, which is the same logo that's been on the book since day one. That's great.
Perfect.
And then we get the last shot of Monster Girl.
Yeah, like they put this right at the end. Yeah. It's such a weird thing to put at the end of the thing, because it's almost like it should be this big reveal that everyone recognizes and knows. And it's like, yeah, comic fans know, but...
Well, I mean, this is the first female character we see in the whole trailer. So...
I suppose, yeah, we don't see Eve at all, do we?
No. So it could be Kirkman say, oh yeah, for girls too. Like, yeah,
do have girls. And we have strong girls who can, like, essentially Hulk out and kick ass. Whereas, I suppose, yeah, if you just showed off Adam Eve, especially if they keep the costume the same, it's almost like really? You're doing...
She's dressed in pink.
Yeah, you're doing that sort of costume for your female lead.
Have we seen Adam Eve?
Yeah, okay.
Have we seen Adam Eve?
I don't think we have. I don't think we have. She's not in the trailer or the clip, so...
Okay.
If we have, then I've missed it. If they've released some screenshots...
I thought somewhere there was the... a shot of like the character designs that Corey Walker did. It's just a lineup of all the characters. I want to say Adam Eve is dressed pretty much the same with the one piece sort of bathing suit style. She looks great. They may have toned down her chest area a little bit, I think, but she still looks just like Adam Eve, which is great. Cool. Yeah.
I can see it now. I just got that image up. All of the characters do. They all look spot on. They all look exactly as they do in the books, which, you know, it's hats off to Amazon for sort of having the confidence to go, we bought this property. We want this property. We don't want to meddle with it. We want you to do what you want to do.
Right.
Love it.
Yeah. And I hope they get to the storyline where her body changes. I always thought that was interesting.
It's fantastic. And like everything, like the way that, she's such a good character. Like they do a lot with her over the course of the series, for good and for ill.
But
it's, you know, she's got a full character arc for sure.
For this episode, I titled it "It's a Date" because we now have the date. And I was looking for artwork for social media and the YouTube, and I almost put the picture, the drawing of Adam Eve on the toilet with the pregnancy test.
Yep. That would be a bit of a, I don't know. It's going to be a few seasons before we get there. If we do get there.
There's something, and I'm going to say there's something in the book I wanted to happen. There's two things in the book that I wanted to happen that didn't happen by the end.
Okay.
And I guess for those of you that haven't read the book, and you haven't read the end, but this is stuff that hasn't happened, so it's not really spoilers. In the first issue, when Mark first gets his superpowers, and I'm sure you'll see this in the show, he throws the trash bag. He goes to throw the trash bag into the dumpster, and it flies into space.
Yep.
I always wanted the final fight of Mark and whoever his last boss was for that trash to fall on him. In the middle of the fight.
Doesn't it come back down in a later issue?
Does it? I don't remember because I've been waiting for it forever.
I feel like we see it. I feel like we see it at some point.
I know I wanted it bad enough.
The same framing.
Okay.
Like the same framing of him throwing the bag at the back of the burger shop.
See, this is the kind of thing you guys can let us know about on Twitter or Instagram or whatever. Don't be mad, don't be mean about it, but we're both gonna be doing a reread, so we'll know. But let us know if when it comes down. But I always thought, like, I don't know if you're
maybe
playing the game.
Maybe we see it flying through space or something. I feel like we do see it again. I'm sure we do.
Did you ever play the game Earthworm Jim?
Yeah, loved it.
Where you knock, what is it, a washing machine or a refrigerator thing? It launch it into space, and at the last boss, it falls down on her. Yeah,
that's a really good comparison as well, like in terms of style, with like the bright colors popping and stuff, like Earthworm Jim to Invincible.
Okay,
doesn't feel too dissimilar.
Right. The second thing that didn't happen, and I'm hoping you got this far into the book. How far are you in the book? Like, where are you?
I'm
in the hundreds.
I'm over an issue. Yeah, I'm over 100.
So we. This is 100. So for those of you that haven't read the book, Eve does get pregnant.
Yeah.
And that baby is aborted.
Yeah.
My hope for the book, which never happened, was how do you abort a fetus that's invincible?
Yeah, God.
And I was hoping there'd be a storyline where that fetus, born from a lab waste bin, grows with a chip on his or her shoulder for being tossed aside by Invincible and Adam Eve. And I feel like
it's the ultimate abandoned by your parents story.
Right. And you got the powers of both of them. Like, you're going to survive that process. I could have sworn that Kirkman was going to put that in the book. And I don't know if he maybe thought it was too dark for the book, but I feel like,
or maybe he just didn't get that. Maybe he had other stories to tell. Like, cause he ended the book, like, I mean, it was for years he was saying he was never going to end it. Right. Like, he would end it when he died, sort of thing. But he decided to at one point, like, shift focus. And it's like, that's cool.
Do you think that's a storyline he would have done? I feel like it's a Kirkman storyline.
Absolutely. I think if he'd carried on going for another year, 2 years, 3 years, whatever, I think eventually he would have got to something similar, if not exactly that. Because that, as you said, that screams Kirkman.
Right. Can you imagine?
Dark.
People would be. It's so dark. It's so dark.
Yeah, I feel like he probably didn't do it because at that point he was quite famous.
Right, but I mean, he's. I feel like he set it up. Obviously, he set it up. I mean, because it was only a little bit time after that he ended up having. Oh, I don't know where you are, but there is an offspring.
Okay.
So
I'm just trying to think of the timeline, because I think Eve was probably pregnant before the Walking Dead show started.
Right.
But I can't remember exactly when that would have been. And obviously that would have been when Kirkman sort of just got launched into this mega stardom that everyone knows who he is, even if they've never read any of his books.
If we ever get him on the show, I'm asking.
Absolutely.
I have to know.
If we ever get anyone involved, if they'd heard rumblings.
Yeah, it was something that I was like, as soon as I was introduced, I'm like, but what if the fetus survived?
Yeah, I mean, it's a quarter alien. It's a quarter, half government experiment.
Right.
Yeah, it's only got sort of it's a half human. Yeah, no, it could. I feel like it could probably survive that.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. And a lot of people would want that fetus. So you can't even go that angle getting government tests.
Yeah,
on
there
that.
Are certain characters who would have been interested in taking that. Yeah.
Right. So, okay. Yeah.
Cool. I mean, we went through the trailer. I feel like that's it. I feel like we've said it.
Yeah. March 26th is when Invincible, we know it starts. I think either way, we're going to be releasing the episodes once a week. I'm not sure what day that's going to be. We'll have to check our schedules the closer we get. But I kind of was hoping maybe we can get them out on Wednesdays, because those new comic book day.
Ideally, if we can. Yeah, of course.
So we'll have...
That'd be great. If not, we'll get it out within the week before the next episode, for sure.
But we have a couple of months to decide how we're going to do that. And then, I don't know if we'll have another episode before then. Maybe we will, but I guarantee you by the time we start working on the episodes, I'll have read the first three trades of Invincible again and
same.
Have a little more information.
So yeah, March 26th is a Friday.
Okay.
So we should be able to get it out before, like by the following Wednesday, maybe, if we needed to, at the very latest. But yeah, maybe before, maybe sooner.
Cool. Well, I look forward to it, man. I cannot wait.
Me neither. Just talking about it with you and watching that trailer again through, like, scene by scene. I can't wait. I'm excited.
Yeah. And I was afraid that, like, iTunes was going to be like, what's the deal with this podcast that only did one episode? But between, like, election stuff and holidays and just everything in life and just, like, the sheer, like, lack of information on the show, there wasn't really much to go on. But now that they're starting to pump up and promote the show more, I'm more excited. I'm more excited than ever.
Yeah.
So, and I'm glad to have a couple months to reread the first three trades. I'll probably go farther than that, but I at least we'll get to that one.
I'll probably have read those three by this time next week, to be honest.
Cool. And if you're hearing this and you don't know already, go to invincipod.com. That'll have links to our Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and then it also have every episode there. Oh, and YouTube.
Yes. And that's anywhere you want to watch.
And that's at Invincipod everywhere. So
that's great.
Yeah. That handle, that net handle, kind of what caused this whole mess to happen. Well, as soon as I saw it was available everywhere, I'm like, oh, well, now we have to do the show.
And then a few hours later, we had a logo. And at that point, we just sort of had to do a podcast, really.
Dude, I love it. I love it. It was such a like fever dream of emotions and just
it was
wanting to do it,
like a 12 hour span of going, should we do a podcast, to yeah shit, let's record a podcast right now.
Sweet.
It's great.
Well, let's go ahead and stop this podcast right now. I don't have a sign off and I don't know if I do.
I think I was thinking about this earlier on, and I was just gonna end with keep looking at the skies.
Perfect.